Blog Talk Radio.
Life is easy when you're up on the mountain and you've got peace of mind like you've never known. But things change when you're down in the valley. Don't for you're never alone. For the God on the mountain is still God in the valley. When things go wrong, He'll make them right. When you're up on the mountain, but talk comes so easy when life's at its best. Now we're down in the valley of trials and temptations. That's where your faith is really put to the test. For the God on the mountain is still God in the valley. When things go wrong, He'll make them right.
Ladies and gentlemen, the national anthem of the proud Twin Island Federation of St. Christopher and Nevis.
Blessing shall forever.
all of you out there in Radio Land, you are tuned to The Cricket Show. And every Sunday at this time, we take the opportunity to bring you live commentary, live entertainment, cricket wherever it is being played. And tonight we are privileged to have on board Hyacinth Christian out of London, England. Hello, Hyacinth. How are you?
Hello, good evening.
Yes, indeed. Evening to you. And we also have Donna out of New York. Hello, Donna. How are you? And we also have Mertris.
Hello, hello. I'm fine. Hello. New York is fine.
Yes, indeed. And Dennis, I'm sure.
Yes.
California is really fine as well. Tell us all about it. Go ahead, Dennis.
Hello, you're Leon. On. Hello, Leon. Good evening to Hyacinth, Mertris, and Donna. And welcome to all our listeners, wherever they are in the world, the Cricket Show at www.blogtalkradio.com/The Cricket Show. You can call us to join in. Let's hear your voice at 1-515-605-9850 or send us an email at thecricketshow@comcast.net. That's your reminder to join us every Sunday 6 p.m. Eastern time zone. Back to you, Leon.
Thank you so much. And without any further ado, let me just give this show its blessing. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity you have afforded us to have yet another show. We pray you would allow it to go on without any interruption whatsoever. We pray that you help the ones who make it possible by their financial support, by their moral support, and in any way help us to be on the air for 13 years. We just want to join with the Nationals of St. Kitts and Nevis on their celebration, which comes up on the 19th, but you know, we won't be on the 19th, so we could do it before it comes. So congratulations to all the Nationals of St. Kitts and Nevis, and we hope they'll have many more to celebrate and prosper as well. Let me just remind you, dear Father, we also ask that your blessings on some of our members and friends and family who are struggling with ill health, namely Dr. Leroy Lashley and his daughter Lisa, Mertis Nisbet and her mommy, Bobsy Nisbet, Connie Whitley, Ellie Matt, Everett Carter, Oliver Solomon, El Camino Willett, Winfred, Gorbrell, Telbert, Dewayne, and Francis, all my brothers and sisters as well. Dennis Kelman, Joseph Brunswick, Mona Daniel, Fillmore Hallback, Earl Stevens, Janet Hughes, Dr. Roger Brown, Minford McKenzie, we haven't heard from him for a while, and also Dawn Simon. And all the others who have not expressed their concerns, Lord, we ask your blessings, your healing touches on them, and pray that you may bring them back to the normal self. We pray whatever area you find that we are lacking, Lord, we just want you to help us to correct and help us to be one that is providing a great service for all our friends and well-wishers around the world. We thank you again for this opportunity and pray that all will be well with this show this evening. And thanks to all the members who are on as well and those who will be coming on a little later. All these we ask in your precious name. Amen. 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 But Dennis? Okay, Dennis is not with us.
Yes. I'm here, Leon.
Okay, good. Yes, and Dennis, and let's hear a little bit from you. Okay, then. Donna, a little bit from you. Anything new? Or Hyacinth? Or Mertis? Anything to share?
The only thing new was my daddy's 95th birthday on Friday.
Yes, brother. Yes, we'll hear him up too. Brother Franklin, yes. Your daddy, Franklin Brown, right. I remember that. Yes, 95? Did you say 95?
95.
I saw him. Donna, you bought that sharp shoot for him. I like it, man, from a distance. Yeah. You tell him
okay.
He had a mask for shoes, man. I like shoes. I look
okay.
At his shoes. Really nice. Okay, so anything, Dennis, that you have to share? We will not go through the, of course, where we're talking about the CPL, the Coach's Corner comes up afterwards, and the birthday and anniversary hour will be on. And the Cricket Show focus this week will be focusing on Donna as well. She will be the presenter tonight. And the Cricket Show special announcement. We have a special announcement. And we should be hearing from Connie, and we should be hearing from Hyson. The Asia Cup, as well, the ICC Player of the Month. And we tell you who these are. And the CWI Men's Under-19. We have another young man who is making waves in the Under-19 team. And the New Zealand Tour of England, as well as Australia Tour of South Africa. And USA Minor League. With that said, we're going to show the ropes right over to Dennis as he prepares for taking as he comes in with Coach's Corner. He's not with us yet, but you can prepare the way for him. That movie is on his way.
Well, you know, Leon, I can share with you some news I've picked up courtesy of Cricket Australia regarding the Women's Big Bash League draft players, and they have what they call an expanded platinum list of players, and these platinum players I believe will get an increase in their platinum level fee of about $110,000 as opposed to the gold tier players who will earn $90,000. And West Indian Deandra Dutton and Hayley Matthews and Stephanie Taylor are both listed in that platinum level job. So if they were to be selected, then we're looking at their fees. The other West Indian players who are supposedly available for nomination to the Women's Big Bash League, this is the Australian version of the TPL, of the IPL, CPL. Shamila Cornell, Afi Fletcher, Janelle Henry, Kiana Joseph, Anissa Mohammed, Karishma Ramharak, Shakira Selman. These players are all available for the draft. But we can visit that again later on, because I see that we have Coach Jatin with us. So let's go right on into the Coach's Corner. The Cricket Show USA, the Cricket Hall of Fame USA, and the American Cricket Education Council, ACEC, is pleased to welcome the weekly joint collaborative broadcast of the Coach's Corner. The objective of the Coach's Corner is to provide coaching, education, and expert views, information, oral and practical assistance, while helping to educate those seeking to understand and to become actively involved in the sport of cricket, nationally and internationally. The segment of the Coach's Corner will run from 6:15 p.m. until 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and will feature Coach Jatin Patel, Cricket Hall of Famer and Multisport Coach Administrator and Director of the Cricket Hall of Fame. Coach, good evening to you, and welcome to another edition of the Cricket Show and the Coach's Corner.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening to you, Coach.
Okay. Well, what I did not mention earlier, and I guess I'm somewhat remiss, tonight's topic will focus on the word intent as it applies to sportsmen and cricketers. Intent. So let me kick this one off. Coach, how important is intent to athletes and especially cricketers?
the overall, the word itself, intent, it clearly says it's all about the purpose. So in any sport, and particularly cricket, it depends on what is your interest or what is your intention or what is your purpose. And that is what the intent is. Because based on this intent, the player's performance as well as player's career can build on. A lot of legendary players had this intent, proper intent. They played with the passion, or they played for the pride, for the country. So those are the intent which carries away a sportsman's life. So nowadays it's becoming a really interesting point, because there are various intent we can find in cricket world. And because of that, the majority of the players' intent is to make more money quickly in a shorter form of the game. So that's the reason the intent becomes important when the game or sport is concerned.
Coach, is it necessary to set intent before or during the match?
This intent can be a long-term, can be a short-term, can be a inning-based, or can be for any moment. It's all about the individual's full authority to think about it and decide what the intent can be. And based on this, their performance can depend. As long as they are working with the intent, they have set for them.
Okay. So what is it that drives intent in players?
There is a lot of things are possible, but I can give you a few examples, especially from like Virat Kohli or Tendulkar or Dhoni kind of people who had the proper intent from day one, and they carried that intent for the rest of the life, or they carried that intent till they were actively involved in international cricket. And it's not about taking care of that intent, but once you set that intent, you have to come across with a lot of other responsibilities and challenges. And time to time, it may become difficult to maintain that intent. But the players who have a good mindset, they usually keep that intact all the time, even in a hard time or even in a rough time, and they usually overcome with it. The most of the players in India or in South Asian countries, their primary and initial intent is to play for the international level game for the country. And that's how their career begins. And to do so, they have to have commitment, a lot of work, and a lot of practices, a lot of effort behind it. And they have to continue with their personal fitness and maintaining the performance to reach at the international level. And it only happens if you are a firm with your intent.
Now, can you say decisively, Coach, what factors, if any, are the most important items? Is it the individual player's success? Is it the team's success? Or is it the personal reward that drives intent?
The intent usually goes on person-to-person basis as an individual. In other words, when someone decides to set for the intent, it's usually what they like to do and what they love to do in their life or in the moment. And that is how it begins with. And because of that interest, with their like as well as what they love. They're going to sacrifice a lot of things and do whatever it takes to achieve the goal. In other words, in order to maintain intent, you must add desire, willingness, goal. There are a lot of things attached with the intent. And when you blend together, and if it is all works out with the well-discipline, with the good behavior, then the performance goes at next level. And when you combine players with similar or some common intent, and if that exists in the team, then it can definitely help the team also. But usually it's more of an individual.
Thank you, Coach. Leon, let's see if...
Yes, thank you, Dennis. I just want to ask Coach, if can you pinpoint a player with intent? If not, can you teach the player to have intent?
Absolutely not. This intent is your own personal interest, which you have to establish on your own. There is no way somebody can tell you that you need to become Tendulkar or you need to become Bumrah.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't work that way. Every individual is different. As a human being, we all try to follow someone or want to become somebody already exists or somebody was there in the past, that sort of thing. But the intent is not something someone can preach or someone can convince or someone can learn from it. It's all about set up yourself with the dream, we call it, what you really want to achieve.
Would you say that a person, a player with intent is one who is more suitable to be a captain than just to be a normal player?
That's a two different thing here.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone out there in a team has an intent.
Mm-hmm.
Let me say this way. But then there is another part of this intent. It comes to the leadership. And again, leadership, the team means, is not about working together. If someone understands right, is how to get along with each and everybody. They must understand everyone's roles, responsibilities. They usually know what they like it, what they don't like it, that sort of things. And when you come across, and the good leader is the one, knows everyone's weaknesses as well as strength and as well as the team needs. And because of that, the leadership intent is an additional intent beyond that personal intent they may have for the playing just cricket. So there's like a multiple intent are needed to be a good leader.
Thank you, Coach.
Okay. Coach, is the player's maturity or the player's skill level the factor that drives a player's intent?
Yes. And this intent can be flexible. Time to time it does change it. The primary intent, let's say for example, to play the higher level cricket means you want to reach at the top. Once you make it there, you have to maintain your standard as well as status both to be in a team and keep continuing career. And that is really a concern, where the primary intent is good enough or no. So in that situation, the primary intent to play at that level or reach at the level is okay. But then you must have the secondary intent, maybe two or three, where you can definitely step up and change your intent to do better. And that's the reason the intent is flexible, but the primary intent is always need to be there.
Coach, is it mentally or is intent mentally or physically driven?
It's a kind of sort of basic. Intent is all about part of the man's mindset thing. And once you set it up, the mind controls the body. But at the same time, depends on intent to play well or to play strong or harder. Your physical ability is also concerned. Means the physical fitness is a part of that achievement. So once the player set up the intent, and if it is directly or indirectly related to the body fitness, then yes, intent is the one has to drive the fitness standard also. And that's the beauty of about this intent is
once they decide for,
they will do whatever it takes to achieve the goal.
Okay.
We have Virgil with us. I don't know if he has anything in mind.
Welcome, Virgil. Good. We've lost him. Virgil is not there, Leon. He's unfortunately dropped him. Okay, I'll continue. Coach, intent once set, is it subject to interruption, distractions, or interference? Once you set that intent, is it subject to interruption, distraction, or interference?
Yes. The intent is directly setting up something in your mindset. And we talked about more than a dozen topics or different factors which can cause the issue. So that's the reason there's a lot of things like lack of confidence, distraction from the surrounding, competition when you're trying to compare yourself against others. Then you have the anxiety, the frustration. And if you keep continue this list, these all factor can definitely concern with the intent. It may force to change the intent or may cause the weakness to the intent. But during those situations, if there is a strong mindset, they usually come out with a strong intent, and that is where they overcome all hurdles and challenges.
Okay, sounds good. And we haven't got Virgil back yet. Let me Coach, is intent predictive or accidental in relations to the actions of an athlete? Is it predictive or is it accidental in relation to the actions that the athlete takes during, you know, a game?
It's the self-control with the self-belief. And normally it does not change because what they do. It's the most likely it changes what they see or what they experience or what they believe in or what someone told them. And once they believe that I can do it and I will do it, that is the thing it can set up as an intent. But it is definitely can change based on the performance and outcome and what the appreciation they get out of it.
Okay. What about discipline, Coach? Is discipline and attitude the same as intent?
No, but it's intent can be impacted by both. Discipline is really a concern to maintain that intent. And attitude is definitely to achieve that intent. You need to have the proper attitude. So both factors can impact directly on intent, which is the outcome of the player's performance and ability to do whatever they are doing in current moment.
Okay. What about overwork, Coach? Does overwork and physical Whoops, we have some noise there in the background. Quote, yes, does overwork and physical tiredness affect the intent in an athlete?
Not really, but if there is a weaker mindset, we call it, they usually get lazy. Or they met like a situation where they lose the confidence, like, hey, I'm already working too hard. I'm working more than I'm supposed to or what I'm capable to do. And they don't see the fruitful outcome, which is the expected outcome, then they usually get disappointments. And because of that, this overwork is definitely a concern. In most cases, the overwork can put the intent on a pause or giving away mode.
Okay. Coach, will training and practice routines improve or influence intent?
Yes, because this is the time whatever the intent has set forth, we are putting in practical situation with the surrounding and support you may have. Mm-hmm. And because of that, things can change. For example, if someone decides to, let's say, bat longer, if they don't have the adequate practice facility, or the ground is like a wet because of the rain or something, and if you are willing to do the bat long today, but it's not possible, so it can impact. At the same time, under any situation or circumstances, when you feel discomfort, the comfortness comes from the others. When they see something, when they discuss with somebody, or when they're communicating with the others, or they see something different, and that is what it can change the intent. So in other words, intent can be changed based on the practices and things they do with the other teammates.
Okay. Coach, is intent measurable as a leadership skill?
Not really. That's the only thing I can say.
All right. So, how players react to stressful situations on and off the field, is the reaction likely to influence their intent?
It does, but again, that whoever has the proper intent, they usually stay calm with what they do. Sometimes it's all about the forgiveness, and sometimes it's all about responding right way, we call it behavior side. And those are the things that rely on the individual, how they able to get back to the normality or keeping that intent intact without being derailed. And that is the most important part of any sport.
Liam, are you
yes,
available?
Okay. I was trying to build a question over here. Thank you. Yeah. Is it likely that a player can lose his intent? And if so, as a coach, how would you try to bring him back into the fold?
That's a good question. It's intent is you cannot hide. It's a body language. And when you talk to the coaches, they usually know what is your intent is, right? Now, in order to maintain this intent or to become strong enough to stay with this intent, it takes a lot. And in that situation, not only good players who can bounce back and try to stay that intent, where some of them usually give up the intent and let it go rather than bounce back. So you can see that a country like India, Pakistan, Sri Lanka. There are plenty of cricket players at youth level. Everyone don't get opportunity. Some they get it. And even the some players get the opportunities, there are a handful of players who can come out and maintain their intent and move forward to play for the national team. But there are also situations that the people come all the way to this level, and all of a sudden, when they are not able to maintain their intent for whatever reason beyond their control, they normally lose interest. And when you lose interest, means you are losing intent. And those are the players can be upset. It means they go on the hiding or sidelines, and they usually lose advantage to get back into the normality day by day. And we have plenty of examples on that side that people came, played at the higher level, and either they have performed or not, but after a while when they are dropped out of the team, they never get back into the team. Because the simple thing is they are losing intent, or they are not strong enough at their intent, and because of that, they just fade away.
Yes. Thanks, Coach. Good answer.
Coach, how does team spirit and cohesion affect individual players' intent?
Whatever the intent you may have as a player, when you join the strong team with some serious players who are good at mentoring, and they are much more capable than the player who are coming in as a new in a team, they have to keep their mind clear. Because most likely situation is not about keeping the intent the level you had to get up to this level. You must take the next level. Means you have to do much better than what you have done so far. It may be a learning process that you have to improve yourself. And then it's the best situation in a team environment. If the seniors and expert players can advise you or mentor you for something, and that is where they can escalate their level of performance. And because of that, the team cohesion becomes a very important part of the player's development. If the team is not doing good or so and so, and anyone comes into the team with whatever intent they may have, they usually loses because of the challenges out there, and there was a lack of support, we call it, and at the sometimes it's a lack of interest. And overall, depends on the team, the intent can go negative way or positive way. Depends on what the team environment is, player is involved.
Okay. Coach, playing in test match, ODIs, or T20 formats of cricket requires players to adjust their approach. Does the adjustment made affect players' intent across these different platforms?
Yes, they usually call it change of gears to play these levels, right? 50 overs is more quicker than a test, right? We are finishing a game in a day compared to 5 days. So you have to put the game in the next gear to speed up the process, whether you are scoring runs or doing fielding to save runs, or you are bowling to get them out as quickly as possible without giving away too many runs. That's a switching of gear, we call it. But then you are going in a high gear when you go in a T20, because now this game is like a matter of 3 hours, and it takes everything quicker and quicker, faster and faster. So because of that, the good players who are playing all three different formats, they understand intensity the game requires, and they also maintain the momentum with the team to get along with the flow for the speed of the game. And because of that, there are only handful of players out there in the world who can maintain this intent based on the format of the game, where most of the players are not able to keep up with it. And we usually label it as a fan, like they don't have enough practice, or they have not played this format for a long time, or they're being rested for this form. But it's a simple word is they're not able to control that intent which is needed for the format of the game.
Okay. Any other questions, Leon?
Yeah, just one that came to mind. Is it good to get a new player, I mean, under the wings of a player with intent? Is it good for the team? Because sometimes they may say you're favoring one player other than the next, but this player is... For instance, I learned that Brian Lara used to live in Viv's room, and they talk cricket all night. And the intention for he has the willpower in Viv's Viv to know what he's going to do, and he can relate that to a young player like Lara or any other player for that matter. But my question really is it good to have a player attached to one who is very, very intent?
That is the right thing to say when you're dealing with the youth player. The intent is otherwise, means other way it's decoded by how potential they are and what ability they have, what skill set they have. That includes the temperament and a lot of other abilities. And when you find such player who is a decent at the intent and doing all his work through the ethics and their desire to do well, it becomes, we call it, coachable player. If you have the young coachable player, then it's a beautiful help to have it in any sport, because this is a player can make difference. Those players, like some of the priority is they never quit learning. They never quit trying different things. They respect the coaches and want to do something different once they get the feedback or suggestion from the coaches. They usually give a lot of input, means the hard work, desire to do well, improve. And those are the things can definitely you can find in young players only. And because of that, if you look at specifically like a soccer worldwide, we see more young players coming in international arena than the mature older players. And they usually blend with the senior players. So in a couple of seasons, these are the young players can easily become the good player, because they need to have right company. They need to have seniors mentoring. They need to have the coaches to train them. So it's a possible, but the intent is definitely, if somebody is coming at young age, that's a beautiful thing to have it in any sport.
Yeah, thank you, Coach.
Okay, Leon, before I move on with Coach, I think I've just had a request from Virgil and a reminder that he'd like to be brought in again. Okay, Coach, can you give us just an overall summary then of today's word, intent. Give us an overall summary of what you, those areas that we have not asked questions on.
The intent is a very common word even in a normal life. If you look at it when we were growing up, our parents used to ask us, what do you want to become when you grow up? What colleges you want to go? What type of degree you want to grab it? And they also asked you, like, what type of lifestyle you want to live? So these are the all things are coming across to find out your interest, which is the intent, right? Once they know the intent, and then usually get support for it, it depends when you declare this is my intention or this is the thing I like to do, and these are the things I do not like it. And based on that, it's always the opportunity to increase the strength of your intent. Means now you are firm and controlling your destiny. And then to achieve that, you have to do whatever it takes. And that is what the intent is. It's all about your interest, what you like to do and love to do.
Okay. All right. Well, Coach, if you're finished with your summary there, what I'd like to do is take this opportunity to revert to one or two questions from previous programs that I was unable to get in because of the time factor. I'll tell you the topic that the question is related to, and hopefully you can at least give us your answer on those. Previously, we discussed the discipline, attitude, temperament area. The question I had from back then, how do you train or correct a player's attitude?
This is the toughest challenge. It's not easy to fix it. But if the young player involved in this attitude situation, I'm looking at under 14 player, then you have very strong chances to improve his attitude. Because this is the age, you can change him. But at the same time, if you have somebody around 25 years of age and bringing the attitude, then it's a tough challenge to change the attitude. The reason for that, the attitude is only two-way normally coaches prefer to go and fix it. One is the discipline, means you have to do some penalties or force something to do because of the fault or because of the attitude is not right. And another thing is, if the player is a good, I call it coachable player, then all it takes is a mentoring. Because the sincere kids or a serious player wants to improve in every manner. And attitude is one of the part. And attitude can impact a long way in terms of the relations with your teammates or anyone involved in the game or during the game, as well as this can harm or damage your performance too. So if someone is a serious, attitude is a way to go to fix through the coaches and mentors, and they usually know what to do. They usually tell you what is right and wrong. And if somebody is ready to take care of those notes or remember those things and improve, then yes, attitude can be changed.
Okay, thank you.
How many difficulties, Dennis? A little difficult to bring in on Virgil, but Audley is with us.
Okay. All right. Audley, good afternoon. Welcome back to another edition of the show. We have currently Coach Jason in the box seat. We were discussing intent earlier on, you know, that is intent of players and their attitude. And we've just diverted towards attitudes, discipline, temperament, etc. Any questions you might have for Coach?
Well, first of all, good evening to you all. Intent of what you're talking about? Just one's behavior or overall, you know, demeanor.
Players.
You know,
intent can be anything and many ways. Mm-hmm. That includes everything. Like some of the intent, I can tell you, like we call it short temper people, right? Their intent you tell anything to them and they will be short temper means what? It takes maybe a few seconds or maybe less than a few minutes before they come to you and argue. So their intent is clear. Anything comes to them, they are ready to defend and come out with the agreement or disagreement, right? And the good ways are intent also, where the people commit, hey, doesn't matter what you say or what you do, I'm going to do this way. And sometimes these people can help you rather than going under the disagreement, right? So intent has a lot of ways, but it's all on personal behavior and interest.
Right, so it could be labeled stiff-necked, and on the other hand, it could also be labeled somebody who is very cooperative,
right.
You know, somebody cooperated with you, yeah, because, you know, okay, go ahead. Okay.
The intent is the clear definition of intent is the purpose. Whatever the person
right.
does, need to have the purpose, right? And purpose can be anything.
Okay,
good. Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. Let me just draw back again to the discipline, attitude, temperament question. Now, it is known that argumentatively, in general, anyone who is argumentative is considered to be disruptive and thus likely to be avoided. From a coaching perspective, is an argumentative player likely to be a brilliant and skillful player or a player lacking in skill and talent?
It depends, right? And is always in what terms we are looking at success. Success can be measured different way, or effective outcome can be measured different way. And it depends on the scale, how you consider the success or effectiveness or improvement. And that is the how it detects, right? So it's not something common to everybody. It varies by person to person. At the same time, it also depends on who is assessing or who is judging them. Their personality and individual thought process is always different. So these are all things. It depends on situation, who are involved, and what level of discipline or the attitude has been trying to taking care of it.
Okay, thank you, coach.
I can give you one example. What happens if the aggressive mind people get into a physical fight, especially in U.S., how you can resolve? So in this situation, I will say you are handicapped. It doesn't matter you are administrator, management person, coach person, because now it has been escalated to the physical fight, and that's the only way to stop it is call 911 and get the police.
Do you agree that an argumentative player should be sidelined or corrected, and how can this be accomplished?
Best thing to do is sideline them. Time on the bench is the best possible we have. Let them think about it for a while. Wait for the right time to mentor them. Is not one something you want to jump on it as soon as you see something going wrong or attitude is not right or behavior is not the way you expect. And because of that, the disciplinary action you take need to be, I will say, smart enough. It's not in terms of retaliation or reaction to something right away. It's all about giving them penalties or discipline, something where they can extract time to think about it, and then you come back to the normality and start discussing that situation. If you jumping into right away in a situation, you will end up either most likely the disagreement or not acceptable thoughts. I mean, the person is not willing to listen to you, not going to agree with you. So what's the point of it to continue in that situation?
Okay. All right. Well, we're about to wrap up this segment, Coach, and I give you one final question.
Can I give you one stick there?
Yes. Dennis? Go right ahead.
Sometimes you have a person that sometimes is so brilliant that when they come up with something, somebody trying to you know, get something over to them when they have already passed that stage and they are trying to get the person to come around to their way of thinking and something like that. And sometimes that person can be labeled argumentative. And one guy out of Jamaica, you know, he paid a penalty for, you know, not playing for the West Indies a whole lot of time, you know, more often because he was labeled argumentative. And it's just that the guy was very smart. And what they're trying to put over to him, he was way ahead of that. And so it is with even some children that are going to school that has a much higher IQ. And what the class that they are in, they have superseded, you know, those stuff already, although for the age group would require that they stay there in certain class. And so, therefore, sometimes the person or persons can turn out to be labeled argumentative when the whole truth is that, you know, they are past that stage long time and they are trying to bring others to come to their way of thinking. That's why I look at it sometimes, you know. Mm-hmm. It happens like that.
Any comment on that, Coach?
No, he got a good assessment on that, and this thing can change. It doesn't matter, as he explained, like he's a smart person, but he still does that. But usually I can tell you the difference between the smart person and not smart so-and-so person. The smart person may end up with arguing, but they normally come back to normality much quicker than the other people. That is a huge difference there.
All right, thank you. Virgil, welcome back. Are you? Do you have a question for Coach?
No. I'm just here listening. No,
okay.
I'm good.
All right. Coach, all right, this is the final question in the segment. Financial reward, is this a factor that influences discipline, attitude, temperament, and being argumentative?
Nowadays in a sport, this is a huge topic, and the financial conditions does change the intent, which can force many things to change. That includes a lot of factors you can see in a player, from communication to behavior to attitude to interest. Everything can change because money has a drag into it. And very recently, I think we had a real good exposure going on in a basketball at the world stage. USA lost because a lot of players who are playing in a professional league and making money, they think playing for country or playing for nation or playing for any other international tournament is less important to them. And because of that, the team has to build up from the non-professional players and coming from colleges and other environment. And that can cause situation. And this is a huge concern for the West Indies cricket too, for since like 2008, when the T20 started and professional leagues are playing around the world, and when the people started getting more money than what they get from the local board playing for the country, it has changed and it does impact. And as I say, I'm not pointing finger at just West Indies. It's happening all over the world in almost every sport.
All right. Finally, does mindset eliminate the worst of discipline, attitude, temperament, and argumentative?
Once again, intent is the we call it a part of the strong mindset. Intent, stronger the intent, means the person going to have the stronger mindset. And that does take care of almost every other factors we have talked about it.
Thank you so much, Coach. Thank you. We run out of time right now. Thank you, Coach, for your insight, your knowledge, and experience. We invite you to join us again next week at the same time right here on The Cricket Show. There is no doubt that Coach Patel have answers to the questions you have been asking. The question that says, how did he do that? Or why did he do that? Maybe you will say, I am going to do that next time. Once again, thank you, Coach. and we look forward to another session with you next week.
Thank you.
Dennis, can we invite the coach to be back with us at say about quarter to eight, if you can get in by that time. Coach?
I will, okay. Yeah.
All right.
I'll join around 7:40 for sure, yeah.
Yes, okay.
Thank you, Coach. We look forward to having you back. All right, Leon,
thanks for being with us early. And, of course, I'm sure you're prepared with the inside edge. Why don't you go right ahead with it and make your greetings? Because the folks like to hear your voice. We have Donna, we have Mercedes, and we have Hyacinth on, and, of course, Virgil, Audley, and myself. Dennis and myself.
Okay, so good evening to all my fellow panelists, of course. For the listeners all over the world, good morning, good afternoon, good evening to you all. It's another Sunday evening in my neck of the woods. Yes, and things are going just well right now. Look, there'll never be 100% in everything you're doing, but thank God, you know, while there's life, there is hope. That's for sure. All right, so the inside edge for this evening. Did you know that among the openers who are played in international cricket, that one man leads the way, and just recently he scored his 46th international century as an opener, and he has now become the leading run scorer, century scorer as an opener in international cricket. Who do you think that is? The Aussie, Mr. David Warner. He has just surpassed Sachin Tendulkar, because Sachin, as an opener, we have to remember the word now, as an opener, remember, you know, Sachin didn't always open. So as an opener, Sachin Tendulkar scored 45 centuries. So David Warner has just passed him by scoring his 46 international centuries, 20 centuries in Test cricket, 25 in ODIs, and one in T20 international. So there we go, the insider, David Warner.
Yes, indeed. Thank you so much for that, Audley. It's so refreshing to bring us up to date information. But folks want to know if you would have a neck.
If
you would have a neck. You would have a neck. You said neck of the wood.
Oh, okay. My neck of the hood. Hood. H-O-O-D. H-O-O-D. Neck of the hood. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time with that music, you know, it's time for the Walter Henry birthday and anniversary hour. Yes, it's the time of the evening when we take a look at the cricket and paternity and we say hello, happy birthday, happy anniversary. And it's time when you also call in 515-605-9850, and as we go along, we'll give an occasional footnote as we, of course, go along, as I said before. Okay, so today is the 17th of September, believe it or not. I kept saying I just celebrated a birthday last week, and it's September already. Wow, my birthday was in January, like a week ago. Okay, so today's birthday, gospel singer, we know him well, B.B. Winans. He's the brother of C.C., the more famous, I think. C.C. Winans, yes, he's all over the place, C.C. Winans. The brother, B.B. Winans, yeah, he's celebrating a birthday today. Actress Cassandra Pearson turned 72, and she, you remember her from the movie Elvira. Yes. You'll know for the movie Elvira.
Mm-hmm.
And actress, also Danielle Brooks, 34. Country singer, Hank Williams, Sr. He was born back in 1923, but you know what? He was found dead on my birthday, New Year's Day, 1953. He was found dead. So that's why when you sing the birthday, I say, I'll soon tell you. How old are you now? Right, so country singer Hank Williams Sr. No, it's Hank Williams Jr. You know, his son, of course, is singing. NBA super coach Phil Jackson, he is 78 today. And the Prime Minister, Ms. Phil Jackson, 78, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Patel will be happy to know that his Prime Minister, the Prime Minister of India, Prime Minister Modi, he's 73 today.
Wow.
Narendra Modi, he's 73 today. Actor Malik Yaba, and you will know him from New York Undercover, he's 55. And Patrick Mahomes, NFL quarterback, he turned 28 today.
Wow.
All right, let's deal with cricket now. Yaba Sharma from India, along with Mr. Ashwin himself, top spin bowler there, Ashwin out of India, celebrating today. And from Ireland, we have Greg Thompson. From New Zealand, Leslie White and James Nizam. Ernest Brock, Sir Donald Curry, and Frank Nicholson, and that's from South Africa. Kenny Barnes from Australia, Bradley Kerger from the Netherlands, Peter Lever, and Judy Debley from England, Bilal Batli from Pakistan, Tyrone Smart, and Renford Baton from the Caribbean. They're both from Guyana. For the 18th, it's Iva's daughter, Brittany. Yep, Iva has to be in there somewhere. Hey, Iva. Iva's daughter, Brittany, is celebrating her birthday tomorrow. And we have a Quinella from out of St. Vincent, Winston Davis, and Alfonso
Brittany?
Roberts from St. Vincent. Yes, out of St. Vincent. From England, Darren Goff, Derek Pringle, Sam Stable and Nikki Peng. India, we have Mohit Sharma, Bruce Murray from New Zealand, Grace Harris from Australia.
I'm excited about that.
Vishwa Fernando from Sri Lanka, along with, Fernando from Sri Lanka. For the 19th, our very own Eddie Edwards. We haven't heard him for a while, but he is still a part of us. Eddie Edwards will be celebrating on the 19th. So let's remember to, he may get in touch with us today. I'm not sure if he's listening or maybe he's sleeping to go to work a little later. But happy birthday to you, Eddie, when it comes. Ted Rice Sargent, who is the brother of one Mr. Leon Francis. Anybody know? Yeah, Mr. Francis' brother. Mr. Sargent,
mm-hmm.
on the 19th. From Australia, Wayne Clark. From Bangladesh, we have Menor Rahman, former captain. And we have Graham Creamer from Zimbabwe, Dick Westcott from South Africa, Ashok Chopra, and Jemima Rodriguez from India, Miriam Hassam from Pakistan. And it will be St. Kitts Nevis Independence Celebration Day, yes. Independence, on the 19th, yep, on the 19th, St. Kitts Nevis. So we have to big up Ivor and all the rest of the islanders here from St. Kitts Nevis. They'll be celebrating independence, and they got the independence back in 1983. For September 20th, Rashid Khan and Imran Ali Kilm from Afghanistan. We have from India, we have Panamal Punjabi, we'll be celebrating on that day. John Valentine from Canada, Ashik Ahmed and Anil Dixpat from Pakistan, Khalil Ahmed from Bangladesh, Stephen Brock and Claire Nicholson from New Zealand, Walter Giffin, Charmaine Mason, and Jade Nicholson, Jade Richardson, rather, from Australia. And we have Regis Amumba from Zimbabwe and Naveed Nawaz from Sri Lanka for the 21st. DJ out of Jamaica is called the father of DJ in dancehall music, U Roy. Yep, U Roy. He was born 1942. He left us in February of 2021. Remember U Roy. And it's also, anybody realize that you have never heard this name for a long, long time? British Honduras. You remember that name, British Honduras? Anybody growing up remember the name British Honduras?
Of course. Yeah.
Well, the reason you don't hear it again is because it was renamed and called Belize. Belize got their independence back in 1981, Belize. And yes, and they got their independence back in 1981. So they are 42 years old. And I remember those days, you always hear about the father of the nation, George Price. Yeah, he ruled for a long time in Belize, but it was British Honduras before. Okay, West Indies, we have Sir Larry Constantine celebrating on the 21st. Some very famous batters here, of course, Sir Larry, all-rounder and stuff like that. Sir Kirtley Ambrose. And then, you know, coming with Chris Gayle. And then John Campbell. So all those four stalwarts, Campbell didn't quite reach a status as yet, but, you know, he is coming. He's out of cricket for a while now, as we can remember that. And, yes, 21st. Richard Ellison and John Crawley from England, Claire Nip Pillow from Australia, and Adam Hockley from Zimbabwe. For the 22nd, Martin Crowe, Jonathan Milo and Jet Roval from New Zealand, Chris Matthews from Australia, and we have Lekem Oyango from Kenya, Ed Joyce from Ireland, Mirihab Hassan from Bangladesh, along with Asaf Hussein. And from Zimbabwe, Charles Coventry. From the West Indies, Jamar Hamilton from VI. Andrew Coley out of Jamaica and Kerry Perry from Trinidad and Tobago. And finally, for Saturday the 23rd, Ray Charles was born in 1930. The blind genius, Ray Charles. Cricket Ashuman Gaikwad from India, along with Ambiti Rayadu, Jason Mohammed from out of Trinidad, Vilma Betty, Dave Renenberg and Tom Hogan from Australia, Sydney Pardon and Hermy Bofors from England, Alistair Campbell out of Zimbabwe, Aaron Redmond and Leah Tahuhu from New Zealand, Jolit Hancroft from the Netherlands, Moin Khan from Pakistan, and Navin Ul Haq from Afghanistan. That's what I have for the birthdays for you right now. Back to you, gentlemen. Leon?
Okay.
Jenny?
Yes. Any birthdays up there from Virgil? Virgil?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
Any birthdays?
Any birthdays?
No, I just have a condolence to a family member of mine who passed away, Sinclair Benjamin in Antigua, passed away a couple days ago. I just want to wish family all the best and my condolence to them. The other thing I have to say is a little bit sad on my behalf, because I know I told you guys about my son who had that probably little cyst, having some problem with his brain, something like that. Yeah. But he went back to college, started for 3 weeks, and he had to pull out of school, which is so sad because Okay. He's getting some massive, massive migraine headache. So I just encourage him and tell him, even the teacher said, like, you know, because it's hard to study when you're getting all these massive migraine headaches. So now we got to look in, push it further to look in to see what's causing these things. So I know he's sad because he really wants to go through and do what he's doing. But fortunately, his health comes first. So we have to try to work on that to see what's causing these massive migraine headache. So that's my take for the day. But it goes on a sad part because I'm feeling sorry for him, but it's part of life. Maybe, as I said, every disappointment is a blessing. So I hope it's a blessing coming up from that.
All right.
I don't know who will make up that one, Virgil, but I wouldn't say every disappointment is a blessing.
But I hope that one is a blessing for me.
Go ahead, Leon.
Yes, I just so thankful that Audley has been able to remember my brother, my dear brother, my only brother, my mother. He died, you know, in 2002, and I really, really miss him. Ted Roy, Percival, Alaska Sergeant. And he must be proud of his son that is now ABS TV sports reporter, Sheriff Sergeant, so I'm so happy that he's able to keep the light flame, burn the flame for us. And I miss my dear brother. He was so dear to me. You know, your mother's child is one that is more closer than your father's kids, but no, life is like that. And we want also to remember Sinkis Nevis. He did play the anthem early on, but I'm sure, and of course, a little later on, Father Brown, Donna's father, we want to say thanks for all the times that he spent with us. And the early part of the show, he came on and had really gave us some encouragement, and we're glad for him and his wife who came on and helped us during the early stages of our show. But thanks to everybody and all who have birthdays. I just want to wish them well. And September is really one to remember. So many great persons have, even the Queen who passed away in September. but you got to remember September.
Okay.
Over to you, Dennis.
Back to Hyacinth. Any birthdays?
No, not this week.
Not this week. All right. Thank you. I have no birthday myself. Donna, your birthday. I know Leon's spoken, but we haven't heard you yet.
Yes. So my dad was on Friday, the 15th.
Mm-hmm.
He entered the Grand 95.
So wow.
Close to him. And he's doing okay. And,
yeah.
Well, Audley mentioned Brittany for Iva on the 18th. And I'm going to say happy independence to my country, St. Kitts and Nevis, on Tuesday, the 19th.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have Ciara, Iva's daughter, coming up on the 20th.
Mm-hmm.
And those are my celebrations for this week.
All right. Back to you, Leon.
Yes, indeed. And who is next? Did we hear from, well, Merchies doesn't do that. Donna gone. And Virgil, you have any more birthdays? No?
No, he's giving us his thing.
Okay, well, we're gonna play one song for everyone.
No, before you go, So thank you, Donna, because I have Sahara right up the top, Iva's daughter, and I overlooked it. Thanks for reminding me, for bringing it out, right. I have that one as well. And
we had to say hello to Iva, too. He's out there having a good time.
Yes.
Making the rounds.
Maybe having too much
stations.
Of a good time. Yes. So I want to send out birthday greetings also to a friend well away from Eddie Edwards.
Eddie.
Raymond Haynes is Harriet's kid's grandfather. He will be celebrating his birthday on the 19th. And, we still keep in touch with talk with, you know, buddy. So I want to say a big shout out to him. Of course, I'll call him personally when the day comes. Delroy Henningham from you're my church brother for a long, long time. He's not doing exceptionally well these days. He got a stroke, and but the Lord still spare his life. He'll celebrate another birthday come Wednesday, God willing. And yes, and Brother Paul Henry, he is in New York. He was my best friend on two occasions. And let's hope it will be just like that, no more. All right, but Brother Paul will be celebrating on Wednesday, the 28th, as well. So happy birthday to him. And a sad note, one of my bosses down in Florida, his wife passed away last week. She just went to bed and she just kept sleeping, you know. She never really woke up. And, you know, he's going through a time of grief right now. So Chuck Henderson, of course, I got in touch with him before, but I just want to call his name. His name is Chuck Henderson. And just want to say, brother, hold on. I know it's hard. It's not easy. I know they've been married for like, they've been married like what? In other words, I said like donkey years, you know, long, long time. Okay. And to see, you know, she went through some sickness the other day, and she recovered, and then she just went to bed and just continued sleeping, like my niece a couple of years ago. So my condolences to you, Chuck, and the entire family and friends. So that's what I have here. So
thank you so much. Gentlemen, before we go, we want to have to... You are welcome, Eddie Edwards. Eddie is a good friend of the show, and I had the pleasure of staying in his home when I was down in Fort Lauderdale, and I had a great time. So, Eddie, on behalf of the show, we want to wish you a happy, happy birthday. May you live to celebrate many more years of joy, happiness, and good health. And tell the doctor for us.
Tell you what.
Talk to us.
Leon,
and so say all of us.
I'm not hearing you, Grady.
Eddie,
you're not hearing us?
Okay, go ahead.
Eddie, are you hearing us?
Yes, I'm hearing you. Go ahead.
Yes. I wanted to say happy birthday to you, you know, and we miss you a lot. We need to see you more on this radio every Sunday. So while you're celebrating your birthday, celebrate it every Sunday with us, and we will certainly be very happy to have you. Have a great day, a great week, and, of course, a great year from all of
much
us here.
Much appreciated. Much appreciated.
Young boy,
Burbushman.
Eddie.
Your
young boy, Eddie, this is odd. I was just saying maybe you're sleeping.
Yeah, I actually was. Until the anonymous caller woke me up.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm early
bird.
All right. That's
why you're talking like you're talking beef.
No,
okay,
that's
my brother. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday when it comes.
Hello?
Yes.
Hello?
Yeah,
go ahead. You can hear me?
Yes, Virgil.
Yes,
you can hear me? Yeah, no, I think that's the way he tried to disguise his voice when he don't recognize the number. Anyhow, brother Eddie, I want to tell you happy birthday. And I wish you all the best. And I know you live about 5 minutes away from me. And Mr. Francis probably make a mistake and say he was down by you in Fort Lauderdale. So I don't know if you're in Lauderhill or Plantation, but you got to let him get it straight.
Plantation.
Tell him don't this.
But he was
okay,
in Broward County.
Well, all right. Tell him don't call your city. Tell him don't call your city the wrong name. Anyhow, bro. Just wish you all the best.
Call him yesterday as well.
We want him. We want to remember Cardinals because Cardinal is still under the weather from the dreaded COVID. We want to remember Brother Cardinal. Brother Cardinal, hope you are getting better. You're getting over. I was surprised that you weren't on the Saturday morning show yesterday. So it's saying things, you know, you're still a bit under the weather. So get over quickly, my brother. God bless you.
Yeah, we just wish him all the best.
Yeah, we wish him all the best yesterday as well, so we want to do the same right here.
Let's say so tonight,
I was led to rest. It's enough to make kings and vagabonds believe.
they only learn that the twisting kaleidoscope moves us all in turn. There's a rhyme and reason to the wild outdoors. When the heart of the star-crossed Voyager beats in time with yours. To make kings and vagabonds believe the very best.
Okay, Liam.
Ladies and gentlemen, the national anthem of the proud Twin Island Federation of St. Christopher and Nevis.
Oh, land of beauty, oh, country, where peace abounds, thy children set free. On the strength of will and love, with God in all our shores.
Gentlemen, here we come to the end of another Walter Henry birthday and anniversary hour. We just ask you to join us next week, just about 7 o'clock in the p.m. when we do it all over again. The Walter Henry birthday and anniversary hour. Back to you, Leon.
Yeah, thank you so much, everyone. Hope all of you have a wonderful birthday. Those of you who are celebrating birthday or any other event, we appreciate that you were able to hear them. We're happy that you were able to hear those requests for you, and we want to say enjoy your anniversary. Think it's Nevis. We love you. Audley, why don't we turn it right over to you, not Audley, but Dennis, to bring in Donna for us.
Okay. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we've reached the time of the day when it is Focus on the Law
the qualifications are on fire, and this is where we have Donna will make a presentation for us. Donna, come in.
Just a minute.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Yeah, well.
Yes, so good evening, everyone. I'm Donna
Good
Brown,
evening.
Reporting out of New York.
Wow.
Dennis so ably introduced the topic for today, the qualifications for an umpire. And this is our second presentation as ladies, and I'm proud to be one of the ladies on the show presenting here today.
Thank you.
So here we go. The game of cricket is an enjoyable sport, a sport that is governed by laws. And like the real world, the administrators of the laws are required to learn, study, and practice to become an expert judge. In cricket, an expert judge of the law is the umpire. To become an umpire, the qualifications are simple, demanding, and important. First, an umpire must have clear vision, if necessary, vision that is corrected by a spectacle lens. Equally important is the ability to detect by hearing the different sounds of ball sneak on bat or bat hit on the ground, clothing, or pads. While vision and hearing are crucial, a cricket match requires many hours of standing motionless with total concentration. Additionally, to avoid distractions, umpires must ensure their clothing and footwear are neat, comfortable, and clean. So, the vision is good, the hearing is clear, and shoes, clothes, and concentration are first rate. All the above are insufficient if the umpire does not have integrity and impartiality. Biased decisions are equally and clearly observed. Umpires have a duty to act calmly and in a judicious manner while avoiding provocations from players and spectators whose views and judgment of on-field incidents are quite questionable. Maintaining absolute calmness and authority will enhance an umpire's reputation. And an in-depth knowledge with understanding and clarity of the laws of cricket is essential. The duty of the umpire requires constant reviews and revision of laws and playing conditions to become updated on changes affecting the match at hand. The role of the umpire is crucial. It is a rewarding and enjoyable experience. However, it is important that prospective umpires remember that the above qualifications are important, and so is the reputation of the umpire. A reputation once tarnished in cricket is very hard to repair in or outside of the game. Thank you very much. That's the end of my presentation.
Oh, bravo, bravo,
well
bravo.
Done.
Well
done. Well
done. Well done, Donna.
Oh, beautiful.
Let's hear it from the crowd.
Hey!
Oh, Donna. I was on mute a while ago, babe.
Uncle.
Well done.
Okay.
So what I'm hearing from you, Donna, is that Stevie Wonder or Ray Charles could not be an umpire.
No, because they have to see, they have to have clear vision.
Yes. Okay.
Very good. Thank you so much.
And very, very sharp ears and very sharp
good
eyes.
Good ears.
Mm-hmm. Good.
You see, they have to detect the sounds that they are hearing.
Yeah.
That's what we said. Whether it's ball on bat or ball hitting the ground or ball hitting clothing or pads. So they have to have very keen ears and keen eyes. Seriously.
Thank you. Right, thank you.
You.
Thank you so much, Jerry. Well done, Donna. Well done. And I'm sure we're going to hear this, get the reviews. Wait, is Marches? Did Marches hear that? Marches, are you with us?
I'm saying encore all the time. Encore.
Oh, okay.
Yes, yes, very well done.
Very well done. Thank you for that presentation.
Yes, indeed.
Donna. We look forward to future presentations from our team of ladies here.
And I have some. And I have some after that. Wow.
that is so.
Yes, get serious.
Okay, Leon, back to you. Are you still with us, Leon? Okay. Oh, we have a caller. 1 second, Leon. I think Leon's dealing with it. Oops, somebody's dropped. All right, are you back with us, Leon?
Yes, I'm back. Okay. Yes, indeed. Okay.
Okay. All right.
So, now we have the great pleasure in inviting Hyacinth Christian all the way from England. She has a special announcement to make. Come on in, Hyacinth.
Oh, hello. Thank you, Leon. Well,
yes,
hello. And good evening to, and welcome to everyone listening to the Cricket Show. Tonight, we are very excited to hear these announcements and details of two prestigious individuals and their reward and overall achievements with regard to their many years of dedication to cricket in so many areas of the game. And now it is my pleasure to read this on behalf of Mr. Dennis D. Heath, a certificate of honor presented by the Cricket Hall of Fame, Who is Who in Cricket. And it reads like this: Certificate of Honor dedicated to Dennis D. Heath as a media contributor and intervisual radio broadcaster with 3 decades of experience as an umpire, and for his career-long cricket contributions as Umpires Association Secretary and Editor, radio broadcaster hosts for ICC International, West Indies and USA cricket match events. We recognize and appreciate your achievement and wish you all the best for your future endeavors. And this is signed by Michael Chambers. And Michael Chambers is the co-chair, executive director of the Cricket Hall of Fame. And Jatin Patel. And Jatin Patel, he's the chairman and board member of the Cricket Hall of Fame. And this was signed September 12th, 2020. And it just gives me great pleasure to say congratulations on such an achievement. Well done. Well done.
Okay.
Dennis.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Well, let's bring in Connie Whitley all the way from New York. Is it further than New York? Come on in, Connie.
Good evening, everyone. How are you guys doing?
Good evening. I
want to start off by also bringing in a certificate of honor presented by the Cricket Hall of Fame to a certificate of honor presented to Leon Francis as a professional media expert and international radio broadcaster with 2 decades of experience for his career long cricket contributions to host and broadcast radio shows for many ICC, West Indies, USA, and international games and events. We recognize and appreciate your achievement and wish you all the best for your future endeavors. And this is signed by Michael Chambers, co-chair, executive director, CHOF, and Satan's Hell Chairman Board Member PHOF, which is September 12, 2023, for the Cricket Hall of Fame Museum, Hartford, Connecticut, USA. Congratulations, Leon Francis.
Thank you so much, Connie. Thank you so much, Hyacinth.
You're welcome. Congratulations to you both.
Thank you, thank you. Thank you, Hyacinth. Thank you.
Congratulations
to the gentlemen. Congratulations. Yes. Yep.
Congratulations
yes.
to you both.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
And it is indeed a pleasure. And we have Jatin is back. And Jatin wants to say a few words as well. Jatin, come on in.
Yes. Good evening, everyone. I'm back.
Yeah, we have just received we just announced the Certificate of Honor, and we are very grateful for your help in helping us to achieve the Award of Honor. And I appreciate every moment. It could not have been without the help of the many, many panelists on this show and the help that we have gotten. And I want to just say a special word about Dennis, because Dennis came in at a time when I needed some help so much, so that Dennis, my wife was really sick, and Dennis came in, and he really took over and did some great work in the back for me and helped the show. He took over the show as a result of my being not able to do it as much as I could. And I'm grateful, and I feel proud that you were able to do that in my absence, Dennis. And you are a worthy honor of that certificate that you have achieved.
Thank you, Leon. And I have to say also that working with our group of panelists and contributors here on the Cricket Show has been certainly stimulating and, you know, touching, and of course enjoyable, as well as it's a learning experience too, because for as many years and hours that I've put into this cricket art and game and broadcast, it is still a learning exercise, and I'm very grateful for all the knowledge and help that I've gained from working with the fellow panelists and contributors who helped to keep this show going. Thank you all very much, and I promise to continue as long as I can.
Gentlemen, I have to come back in here and say you guys are both worthy honorees, no doubt about that, you know, the length of years and so forth, and just keep going. But, you know, we should have the song. You know the song, that theme song for Jefferson? Say, we're moving all up,
I wish
I just want to insert Connie here. Congratulations, Dennis. I acknowledge that you do great work, and you all on the panel are a team. So kudos to all of you as well.
Thank you.
Thank you very much,
Thank
Connie.
You.
I just
you.
Must say a word of thanks to Connie, too, because when we started first, Connie devoted quite a bit of her time to help me, you know,
That's
prepare
true.
The articles and do the verbiage on some technical reports that we had to present. And Connie, we without you, too, I would have given up this a long time, but we came and you helped, and we persevered, and in the event we were able to
and we conquered.
Have a few. Yes, conquered. Yes, yes. We.
That's the word.
Yes. Yeah, conquered. That's right. Thank you for that.
I'll just go and deflate my head now.
Thank you, Colin.
Mm-hmm.
You're very welcome, everyone.
Hard work and. That's what the end result is. Your honor.
Yes,
okay.
We are
both. We're proud of you.
Leon, before you play the music, can you hear me?
Yes, we're hearing you.
Oh, yes. Before I play the music, my daughter just texts to say she sent a congratulation to you both. She stays up. She stayed up. She thought, I said 12:30. She said, are you joking, Mom? So she stayed up just to listen, and she said to send her congratulations to you both.
Thank you.
Wish you
so
the best. You know, all good wishes for the
one
future.
One day I'll get to meet her in person. I met her voice, but not her person.
And do tell her my next trip in London, I will certainly make sure I sit with her for a cup of tea.
I will, thinking she's going to get up at 4:30. Never mind. Anyway, congratulations to you both again.
Okay. Thank you all so much. It has been a joy, and we are very proud that we were recipient of such, a prestigious award. And we hope in near future that many more of our panelists will be awarded. And just keep the faith, and everything will come to being. Thanks okay. from the bottom of my heart. And I'm sure Dennis would like to express the same sentiment as well.
Thanks for the nice comment, Leon and Dennis. I will say it's all about recognizing our award. We are on the radar, and I can say these are the first two awards we have it for the panelists. That doesn't mean these are the last ones. Many more to come, and I assure you, a lot of panelists deserve the awards, and time to time, they will receive certificates, but it may take time, depends on the process. But all I can say is we are making a good impact when it comes to the sports speakers in America. Our viewers are all over the world now, and at the same time, we are on notice, especially for the Cricket Administration and the Hall of Fame. When we started this show and when the cricket show come up to help them for Coach's Corner, means we are part of this non-profit organization which has a similar concept and a similar type of vision, which is all about educating America and promote sport, whatever we can. So for the other panelists, I will say be patient. You are in line.
Okay. Thank you so much, Virg and Jatin. Thank you to all. Anyone else want to say anything before we move on to our regular scheduled programming? Thank you very much, Connie. I wake you up as well. I know your bedtime is early on Sundays in particular. Am I correct in saying that? But no.
Not really, but no. But, I don't even know how to respond to that. Yeah, no, I'm up. I know you guys are...
Just say I plead the fifth.
You plead the fourth. Not the fifth. Thank you guys so much. Thank you. Thank you, Connie.
Thank you,
Hyacinth. Thank you, Donna. Thank you, Merchis. Thank you, Virgil. Jatin, of course. Everyone.
You're welcome.
And Donna.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
We're welcome.
And we can... And we can move on without playing Cool on the Gang. You know that.
Yeah, Cool on the Gang.
Yeah. Time to celebrate. Celebration time on the Cricket Show. Cool on the Gang. Celebrate this evening.
Celebrate good times, come on. It's a celebration. Celebrate good times, come on. Come on and celebrate.
Come to the end of the celebration, and thanks again for everyone. And we're going to move right into the Asia Cup, folks.
Well,
what a match.
Leon, yes, indeed.
Can we ask
Donna if she can bring us up to date with the current scores of the CPL?
Yes, indeed. Donna, is it possible?
Yeah, give me a minute.
Okay. Okay, so while
going... 104 for 2 after 10 overs.
104 for 2, yes,
part.
After 10. Okay, then
timeout
now.
Cy Hop is playing 44 for 20 balls, means he's on strike rate of 20 with 5 fours and 2 sixes.
Mm-hmm.
We have Kevin Anderson also batting on 16 with 13 balls with 1 4. So this partnership is 42 runs in just 27 balls at the run rate of 9.33. So it looks like Guyana Warriors is doing really good after 10 overs, 104. So we can expect total of 200 plus. And that's the reason I'm keeping eye on it, because today's two games are important, because Jamaica Talawas did good. And it's a matter of time to see if the Guyana beats the Barbados, then the Jamaica Talawas is in the playoff. And even the Barbados Royals wins it, they need to have a huge margin to beat the net run rate so that Jamaica Talawas can be out of the playoff. So keeping eye on it, it's a very exciting game coming up.
It looks like my prediction is coming through, because I said Barbados will be knocked out by Jamaica for the third place. So
the Jamaica beat the Patriots today, big.
Yeah, Jamaica beat the that's a big margin. Yes.
Jamaica got the huge net run rate, top of the cent with this team. So even Barbados get 2 points and come out with 9 points to tie up with them, the net run rate. Jamaica Talawas is way ahead of it. Unless they find a huge margin win, I believe we are looking at almost 140 and something. Yeah, that's not possible now.
Well, made a better team win, as it were. Yeah. Well, shall we touch on to the Asian Cup? Of course. We know that Sri Lanka and Bangladesh were in the finals today. And
Sri Lanka and Bangladesh. Sri Lanka.
That's
India.
Right.
And India.
Yeah, and India. Sri Lanka and England. India. What am I saying? Yes, without news. And
what
scores,
an anticlimax.
Yeah, that's really anticlimax, because this has stopped Sri Lanka's winning streak. And India responding to 50 all out from Sri Lanka. India 51 without loss in 6.1 over, while Sri Lanka took 15.2 overs to make a total of 50 runs. With 50, yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, man. And Sirag, 6 for how much? 6 for man of the match, 6
21.
6 for 21,
six
yes. 21. Your comments, Jatin. What happened, Jatin? They prepared a pitch and it backfired?
Well,
someone
all
is talking.
And if you look at it, there's a plenty of people around the world talk about this game. Whatever the predictions were, all went in a different direction.
Oh,
we were talking about team betting first will win.
Something playing in the background. There's somebody I don't playing in the background.
Okay, good.
Someone else has it, not myself.
We got it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Go ahead,
and
Dennis,
then on top of that, we were expecting that the pitch will be a slow turner. But looking at this situation, everything went for the fast bowlers, you know, except last two wickets when the Kuldeep Yadav took it. But it's looking at the spell from Bumrah and Siraj. Both were rested player against Bangladesh. They came out good from ball one. And it's unbelievable to see that Bumrah is back than what he used to when he got an injury. It means he is more stronger, more efficient, more powerful. And it can be very dangerous in the World Cup, believe it or not, because his accuracy is improved and you can see the sharpness in his bowling. Same time, I was predicting that Sammy may play, but Siraj took it. And it's hard to believe that he was able to swing the ball both ways. And because of that, I think he was at 1.6 wickets for single digits. And then they continue to let them bowl him to make sure that he get more wickets, but did not happen because this is called overload. He's supposed not to bowl more than 4 or 5 overs, but I think he was going nonstop at one end. And because of that, tailender put some score against him, and he did not gain any extra wickets. But even though this is hard to believe, the entire game was done in 21 and a half overs, both teams.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It is way much lower than T20 game. And because of that, this game supposed to be the 100 overs, 50 overs each side, but did not go that way. It's, nowadays, this is what I'm crying for, always say. It's not about test cricket, ODI. Does this cricketer wants to play more than anything T20? And that's what it's how this looks like. It's like completely different way. And the results are always uncertain nowadays. When you look at this kind of collapse, we usually need to scratch our head and think about it. Is the team playing street cricket or international cricket? Absolutely, bowling is there, fielding is there, but I don't see the quality where batsmen came out, commitment to stay at the crease and score run or to survive in a difficult moment when they are facing the dangerous bowlers. It's not happening anymore. But it's a good for India. It's overall their 8th title in Asia Cup, where Sri Lanka has the 6th. I think Sri Lanka has a more Asia Cup final, I think 12, compared to India has 7. So it's like 7 or 8. So they are like well ahead in terms of it. And I will say, if I have to take an Indian fan, we are happy. We are not concerned about how the Bangladesh beat us, but we are more happy how we beat the Sri Lanka.
Oh, yes. Two things. Did you think Sri Lanka made a mistake to bat first after winning the toss?
Not really. It can be either side, but this is definitely a bowling performance of Bumrah and Siraj. Let's take it this way. And this can happen when one of the bowler is taking care of business and everything. He has it for a day with luck. There's nobody can stop. So it doesn't matter which team comes. I doubt if Sri Lanka could have made any impact if they had fielded first.
Because I see one of the batsmen get bowled down, and that was unplayable. If you want to describe a japper, that was one. Come from Sirak. Boy, that drop on the wicket, it looked like one that Virgil bowled to Ivor. Right, Virgil?
I'm going to ask you. I'm not going to say it because I ain't going to say nothing because Ivor is going to get upset, so I ain't going to say nothing tonight. But I didn't get to watch the game. I hear you say something about 50 runs. Could you explain that out of what? The team was bowled out for 50 runs?
Yes.
Yep.
Yes. That's correct.
So Sri Lanka actually got bats first, and they got out for 50 runs.
Wow.
And if you look at the scores, they had lost 6 wickets by 12 runs.
Wow. 6 to 12.
They are 6 down at 12.
So 50 represent a recovery.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
Let me say this now. Most of the time I will hear somebody who said by the wicket or the bowler the batman don't bat good. Or if we should maybe cut the overs or some of that. You see what happened? The bowler, you have to give the bowler credit when they're doing real good. And for those bowlers to out the team for 50 runs, I give them all the credit. Because you know something? They was having their day. I mean, if they're going to play another match tomorrow, probably the team would have scored 200 in them. But for today, when they play that game, they had their day. So we have to give the bowlers credit for what they do. Because we know most of the games that we play right now, it's all about the batman. Nobody can say much about the bowler. So when the bowler do good, we have to praise. Not because we don't get a whole game out of that, but you know something?
No, it's a whole
bowler,
game, man.
I'm
it's a whole game.
I'm behind the bowlers with that, man. Thank the bowler for what they did, man. It just
You have your day, take it, because you don't know when it's going to come again. So that was good for the bowlers.
Virgil.
Yeah,
finish Virgil. No, I'm just saying, Virgil, you know, it just shows what Virgil is saying is true, because the India batsmen just knocked that off in 6.2 overs, and they took nearly 20 to score the 50 runs. 50 over in 15.2 overs, while India knocked the 50 off in 6.1 overs and did not lose a wicket.
Just your day, because I can remember time me and this guy, Conway Henry, out the team. It was my birthday. I said I want 5 wickets for my birthday. We out the team for 27 runs. I get 7 wickets for 5 runs, even drop my own bowling card. The next time the team meets us, they make 200 and something against us. So that day when I had my day, I had to withdraw his shoe, because next couple of weeks after, they take a toll on us. So when you have your day, you have to celebrate it and
take it.
Praise to those bowlers. Yeah.
Well, yes. What I was about to say, Leon, is that I noticed on the Sri Lanka scoreboard that there were 5 ducks, 2 golden ducks, 2 silver ducks. Of course, you know, silver is the second ball. And the fourth one just finished off the podium, because it's a four ball duck. Yeah, so that ducks are the order of the day. And the thing about it is that in the whole series, India came up to par. You mean, because when India and Pakistan are going to play, everybody's coming up to par, right up to, you know, make sure they're on the top of the form. And they really put on a big batting display against the Pakistanis. But then comes the Sri Lankans. I thought Sri Lanka was going to beat them. You know, but they managed to come back and skittle them out 170 yards after making on 213. And yesterday with Bangladesh, I'm saying, come on, what's going on here? And they lost by a couple of, 6 runs or something like that. But then then comes the finals. And as our friend here already says, it was a big anticlimax. Because when I looked at it today, I took out my phone and I looked at the score. And I saw 50 runs innings break. So it's like, I say, I can't understand it, because I'm saying it's some rain or something, but then innings break. It's an innings break, you know what? This side is out. And it took me a while to figure out that they were out of 50. And then I said, man. Well, and then India just came on and just knocked it off, like, you know, like that.
Let me share my story in that, of course, because of my location, the match doesn't start till 2:30 a.m. That specific time. Of course, I stumbled out of bed early, and I saw that India was batting at 50, 30 odd for 5 after about...
Sri Lanka.
Which match are you talking?
No.
Or not today's
match? No. I'm talking about today's match. What I'm telling you is my version of what occurred, and that is because of the timing factor, I stumbled out of bed early, and when I looked, I saw India batting at about 30 or so after 5 overs. Because of the time that I arrived, I thought that rain must have, you know, interrupted the match, and India was batting first. It took a while for me to get the sleep out of my eyes to realize that India was, in fact, chasing 50 runs. So, huge disappointment for me in terms of, well, I could have slept in, but fair enough. So, that was my story, you know, of
Dennis,
surprise. Yes.
Dennis, when you saw that, you said sleep was in your face. Did you slap yourself to see if you was really seeing what you were seeing?
Well, yeah, to be honest with you, Virgil, I had to be shaking my head and wondering. Rain immediately came to mind. So, I wasn't in, you know... I wasn't too concerned until later on, as you say, when the sleep was finally out and I was able to really see what is going on, I realized, wait a minute, this is only 50. Quite a disappointment. But that's the game of cricket for you. Back to you.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah, so that's how the cookie crumbles. So another a victory for India. And Jaitin, we ask you if anybody knows what's the prize money involved in this game.
Update on the score. Let me give you an update. It's 150 for 2 after 14.3 over.
Yeah, 167
and Anderson's and 38.
What's the individual scores again, Virgil?
Shea Hope is on 67, 68, and Anderson is on 38, and he's 151 for 2 after 14.4 over.
Oh,
I think he was raining 60s a while ago, man.
But yeah, I told
Shea
you guys
Hope,
I met Shea Hope. I had not Shea Hope, no, King I met, anyway, so. Yeah, and I had a picture with him. So, but anyway, Shea Hope, okay. So Guyana is on a roll. But you know they're famous for choking, right?
Yeah. What do you want to call them? South Africa. You calling them South Africa? Choke on them,
yeah.
Big
yes. They have been there and done that before, you know.
I
and
know,
when
it
came to the
number,
final, they
yeah,
just crumbled.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
The partnership so far is 90 in 56 deliveries. 90 partnerships in 56 deliveries.
Wow.
She's batting at 200 strike rate, and it's
wow.
139.2.
She hope 200
strike
rate?
Strike rate.
200, the strike rate I'm talking about. They appealed to him yesterday to improve his strike rate. I heard the commentators were saying that. So It's a good thing that he listens. So, who was saying something behind it? We have to say welcome to Simon. Simon?
And a very good evening to you, Mr. Mm-hmm. President. And I'll also say good evening to all the Leon and Dennis and Audley and Donna, Mertris, Bert, Virgil. I just heard him. Mr. Patel, I heard him also. Jetna, I haven't heard her yet. Ivor, I heard. Mr. McKenzie, I haven't heard him. And all over the world, especially to Virgil. Virgil was very brisk on the phone, asking a lot of good questions. He loves this game of cricket. He loves this cricket.
And you forgot to mention Hyacinth, Donna, and Mertris.
And I say Hyacinth,
he
yes, I have
Donna.
In my book right here.
Donna.
And Donna, I have all those wonderful listeners who listen every Sunday faithfully.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so happy to be on the show with you talented gentlemen and ladies who know this game of cricket so well. Like my granddaughter.
By the way, we're in the lower.
My granddaughter was about 5-6 years old. She said, Papi, the only game you know is cricket. I thought
Simon,
that was the only game there is.
Hey, Simon, we heard that about 1,000 times before. Tell your grandson, must give you another question. Okay, Simon, why don't you give us an update? Go ahead. Before we go further, I can update.
The Asia Cup, the finalist, the India, got the prize money of 200,000, whereas the Sri Lanka will get 100,000. They also marked team number 3 and 4, which I assume Bangladesh and Pakistan both will get 62,500. And then the left-out team, like Afghanistan and Nepal, so fourth-place team will get 31,250, whereas the fifth place will get 12,500. There is no money for the team ending up sixth. It is Nepal.
The prize money is not big. That's small prize money. Eh?
It's all of a prize.
Huh?
How much is in the... Mr. Francis, 1 second. I just want to say Shea Hope is on fire. He's just raining 60. He's at 91 now at 39 balls.
Wow.
Yep, 7 fours and 7 sixes. He got one more. He's going crazy now. It's 175 for two. 175 for two after 15.4. And in this particular over, Sai Hope, first ball four, second, third, four, six. He just hit another four on the fifth ball. So he is really crazy for this over. It's already 26 runs. One more ball coming. And it's a Conwell. Rakeem Conwell is balling Sai Hope.
Yes. Uh-oh, that's a full toss. 1-6 again.
Yep.
Oh, boy.
I just
made 100.
5-6 on the four.
Mm-hmm. So I hit another six at the last ball. So that's a 34 runs in over.
34 runs in an over.
32.
Wow.
32. My fault. 32. 4-6
mm-hmm.
and 2-4. So that's 32
mm-hmm.
runs in a Rakeem Conwell last over. It was the fourth. And now he ended up 55 runs without wicket in his four overs.
55 in four.
Yeah, and it's after the 16 over, Guyana is a 185 for two. So looks like Barbados is done for the playoffs.
Yeah, they're dead as mutton.
Sai Hope just finished 101 with that six. He's now 101 not out after 41 balls. 8-4,
wow.
8-6.
Wow, that's good.
That is awesome.
Remember Simon always say, isn't Sai Hope West Indian best, the West Indian best batsman?
So Simon, do you have a question for us?
I do indeed. I always have a question for the panelists. Everybody okay now? Everybody had a
yes.
good week?
Yes, indeed.
Wonderful week. Okay, question for tonight, which is, I think, is the 17th of September. That's what my book says.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I had a player called Javed Mehandad. He scored a number of runs in his career. How many test runs did he score in his career? I'm going to repeat it. A player called Javed
Mehandad.
He scored how many runs in his test? This is test now, test career. And my second part of the question is, which country did he play for? I don't know where he's from, but which country he played for?
Pakistan, 8,667.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. President.
I will go with the 830 and 124 test. I am 100% sure that he did not reach 9,000 runs. He tried to come back from retirement to beat the Sunil Gavaskar records.
Mm-hmm.
I think 8830, and I think it's a 124 or 125 test from Pakistan.
Yeah, but how many runs, Mr. Patel?
He said it.
8830.
Mm-hmm.
838? Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's give the ladies a chance now to have a crack at it. Give the ladies a chance to have a crack at it.
Where are the ladies? Diana watching CPL.
Yeah, I don't want him to feel left out.
No, but Diana is watching CPL.
I'm watching the game and I don't want to disturb you guys.
I told you.
Okay, give me your best score. Huh? Give me your best score, Diana. Give me your best score.
I don't know.
Guess. Give us a guess.
I don't know. I said 8,000. I don't know.
Yeah,
okay,
8,000.
Thank you so
much.
Thank you. Virgil, you know a lot about cricket. Tell me how many runs.
I'm going to guess into 8,245.
Thank you so much.
Pakistan,
thank you.
Pakistan.
Thank you.
And you said something about 100, the high score, maybe 135.
Okay, thank you so much. And do we have Mr. McKenzie with us?
No, he has. We have to check him out tomorrow and see.
Okay.
Well, I can tell you now, Leon, I spoke to McKenzie yesterday, and he sounds preppy. He sounded bright.
Mm-hmm.
And he says he's doing well, but I guess sometimes because of his situation, he might well fall asleep. So that may be why we're missing him. But I did speak to him yesterday, and he sounded bright.
Yes, I just want to know if someone spoke with him and he's doing okay.
Yes.
Okay, who else on the panel? Who else want to have a crack at this one?
Hyacinth.
Yes. 8,750.
Hyacinth, give me a crack at it.
Okay.
Everyone's going 8,800.
Okay, ooh, thank you.
And
not a bad guess.
Close.
In this high school, did you high school?
You know, we
no,
to learn from each other.
What country is he from?
What
Pakistan,
country?
Is it?
Oh, what country he played for? That was
is
my
Pakistan?
Question. I don't
the
know
answer.
Where he's from, but
Pakistan.
What country he played
Pakistan.
For.
Pakistan?
Okay.
My guess here, Simon, I'm going with Hyacinth, and I think, did you ask for his highest score?
Yes, highest test score.
Highest test score, 200.
No.
From
total.
No, he
total
asked for the total
score.
Run score,
total.
Right?
Total
run
score.
Score.
Yes, I said my score is the same as Hyacinth, 8,800. And he's from Pakistan.
Okay, thank
Pakistan.
You. Thank you so much.
Mm.
Pakistan.
Thank you.
Hope is gone.
Pakistan, that is correct. That part is correct. Anybody
Hope
else, Mr.
Gone.
President? Want to have a comment?
Yes, that's about all. Donna didn't guess because she was watching the cricket.
So she should know the answer then. So my book here from London ICC Cricket Club says David Meander, he played for Pakistan, they said. They didn't say where he's from, but he played for Pakistan. And his total test runs in his career, 8,832.
Oh.
Yeah.
832. So you see, we're all in the ballpark. You see how much we
know
about
this? Yeah. Okay, 8,000.
We were all in the ballpark. We were all in the ballpark. We know so much about this great game. Okay, give me a hard one now. Give me
Hyacinth,
a hard
you
one.
Have a question for him?
Yeah, hard
give
one.
Give him a question. Hyacinth, if you have one.
Give me a hard one. Tell me, ask me what is the name of the cricket ground in London?
Oh, yes. Okay. which is the oldest cricket ground in London? Which
I would say Lord's.
Ground? The oldest one. Your book.
He said Lord's.
He said Lord's.
Which is the oldest cricket ground in London?
I said Lord's.
Lord's, okay. Yeah.
He's right?
You don't know.
You said to ask him a question.
Okay, he didn't have an answer. She didn't have an answer, so he said Lord, and she said yes. Okay, that's good. At least, so Simon, you're right.
That's why I said, oh, my Lord.
Yeah, it's right.
Yeah, because since I was 3 years old, I hear my father and my older brothers and sisters listening to cricket from Lords and all that. So I say it has to be Lords, as old as I am. Has to be Lords if they're playing there
at
3 years old.
That's why it's called the headquarters of cricket.
Yeah. This is a great game. Cricket is a great game.
Okay. Simon, let's talk a little bit more about South Africa and Australia.
Okay.
You know, Australia is to. I just finished the tour of South Africa. Australia win the first T20 three matches to zip. And in the ODIs, South Africa came back after two matches down, scored three straight to win 3-2. Now, one of the bowlers from from Australia had a record amount of runs scored against him. I think it's the highest that Australian have had, the second highest run scored against one individual bowler. And Simon, do you know the name of that bowler?
From South Africa or from?
No, from Australia.
From Australia.
Well, the match today, I'll give you the score for the match today.
The match
today was South Africa, 400 and, is it four? Wait. South Africa. And this was yesterday's match. They scored 400 something.
Yeah.
I had it wrong. They scored over 400 runs today. 416?
Yeah. 400 in one day?
In 50 overs, yes.
Wow.
Yes. 400.
I didn't know they can count so high.
Dennis, how much is it? 400?
16.
416.
Yes.
And how much runs was scored off the leg spinner?
Well, I'm not sure that I bothered to do that one because it was
I think I have it. They scored 103 runs off of his 10 overs.
Well, I...
103?
Mr. President, if I were that leg spinner, I would change my name right away. I would change my name to something else.
You know, sometimes the leg spinner can go for plenty. Sometimes he can get a breakthrough. And Adam Zampa, he records
Zampa,
a joint worst men's ODI bowling figures in the tourist defeat. Australia, he had 10 overs, none for 113. And there
that's
was a guy by the name of Mark Lewis.
113.
And there was another guy from South Australia also registered none for 113 against South Africa. Both were against South Africa.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
none
a question for you, Mr. President. What were the bowling with? A baseball or football? What ball were they bowling with?
I wasn't there, so I have to take what I say. I think they're bowling with. He was a leg spinner, so he can be hit like how they hit anybody over the boundary because he can be dropping them short.
Yeah,
but he went for 113. That was some.
And Mr. President, I was a number two batsman for my club in England. I didn't even score 6 runs in one over.
That's why I dropped you. Anybody else want to come into the match quickly? We have a little time.
Well,
we can cover as much.
Leon, Simon said that were they bowling with football or baseball, and I'd like
to
tell Simon.
I know he was joking. This is international match. It's an international match. Yes, sir.
Leon, what I'm saying to Simon is that the batters were seeing it like it was a football.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
That's understandable.
You know, that's the game of cricket. Very unpredictable. Very unpredictable. You could never tell, as it says, until the last ball is bowled. Very unpredictable game.
Simon, the Cricket World Cup 50 overs is going to be held in India. The match starts on October the 5th, and it goes to November the 19th.
Okay.
Do
you want me to predict who is going to win?
Okay, go ahead.
I'll have to go with Australia.
All right.
Anybody
agree with Simon?
No.
I know. Tell me who can't win. Tell me who can't
well,
win.
No, in cricket, I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to say
win?
That. Anybody can win. The ball
can
is the same
win?
Side.
Win.
That is the
can
same
the West
side.
Indies win?
And both sides got 11 men, so I'm not going to say
I
that.
Can I ask you a question, Simon? Can the West Indies win? It's a trick question now, you know. Can the West Indies win?
Yeah, West Indies can win. Sure, they can win. Sure.
I told you it was a trick question.
Yeah, they can win.
What?
Yeah,
they can win.
And you have 11 on both sides.
Simon, they cannot win the 2023 World Cup.
They're not in it.
Is it possible? Telling you, Simon, why they can't win?
You got to
win.
Yes, Simon. West Indies knocked out. They can't be in.
They're not in it.
Who knocked them out, Donald? Who knocked them out?
They knocked out
since
so long
ago.
They
didn't
qualify.
Sri Lanka and Ireland both knocked them out.
Okay. Yeah, you know, just like I said a couple of weeks ago to Mr. Patel, you know, it's not realistic to think one team would be on top all the time, you know. One team is going to come on top for some time, and they're going to go down to the bottom. West Indies were on top for 14 years, unbeaten 14 years. Now Australia is a strong team, India. Well, India should have the best team in the world. They have the most people. They should have the best team. You know, so I said, if India wins, I wouldn't be surprised. They should have the best team in the world.
I'd like to know, Simon, how much money the teams are making. The first place, the winner will take home $4 million.
Okay.
Second place,
$2,000.
Listen, Simon, let us hear. When I finish.
The second place is $2 million.
Okay.
And the next two in the semifinal will be getting $800,000 each.
Okay.
And then the winner of the other matches will be $40,000 each.
Okay.
And then the team that do not pass the league stage, we get in 100,000. So how much the West Indies get?
West Indies has 50,000.
Come on.
They can get all money by hitting and playing pitch.
You said 4 million, 2 million, and then you said some team.
There are four teams left, right? Yeah, the first two get $4 million. The first place get $4 million.
Yeah.
Second, the loser of the final get $2 million.
Yeah. $2 million.
Mm. And of the four, the other two teams will be getting $800,000 each.
Okay.
And then the winners of each league stage match, there are 45 teams involved. They're going to get $40,000 each.
$40,000, okay.
Mm-hmm. And then there were six teams left.
Yeah,
16 left.
And they'll get $100,000 each. So I asked you, how much did the West Indies get? God, we'll get.
$40,000.
You could be right, but you're wrong.
The real number is there are league stage teams.
Yes.
For anyone who is winning award, each team will start with $100,000. And
yes.
Then every game you win at league stage, you are making $40,000 each win. Okay.
Okay.
Now
I understand
that.
Yeah.
How about the qualifiers?
Qualifiers getting more. To begin with, all 16 teams from day one, they will get $100,000 as a participation money, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you accumulate every game you win, you're gonna have the $40,000 added. And then when you go semi-final, that prize will go up. And that's a four different prize, $4 million for winner, $2 million for runners-up, and the two semifinalists who lost are $800,000. But additional money coming from those each game. So total $10 million will be going to 16 teams.
Yes, okay.
No answer. But do they have any prize for, session cricketers?
No.
Can somebody answer that? I didn't hear that quite well.
No, when you have a fashion show, fashion cricketers.
Yes, you have to be there though, Virgil.
Oh, they have to be there. Oh,
yes,
okay.
Yes. I know where to
win that prize.
It costs you about $4,000-$5,000 to just go there in India. That's the airline ticket.
No, they don't win the prize of the fashion show cricket.
With the chin hanging around the neck and stuff like that.
Chin and the style and all kinds of things. So the fashion show. Then the modelers, yeah.
Just let me get the gentlemen, the teams that are involved, Afghanistan, Australia, Bangladesh, England, India, Netherlands, New Zealand, Pakistan, South Africa and Sri Lanka. Question: England and New Zealand will play the first match. Is not traditional that the home team play the first match with some other team? dating? You may know this or anybody
else. Not really. It used to be in the first four World Cup whenever they played in England. England used to open. But after that, it has changed. And only time I recall was, I believe, 1996 and 87, both World Cup.
No.
India did play on the game, the day one with the opening ceremony.
Yeah. Because normally they play the host team playing against another team. But here now I'm seeing England are playing. They're playing the two teams that were in
champion.
The final. Yeah?
I guess the champions played in the first match.
Yeah, the
champion
and the team that they beat.
With New Zealand.
So England playing against
New
Zealand in the first match on October the 5th.
So that's a rematch, eh?
That's a rematch. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, from the last World Cup.
World Cup. I guess the fans, they probably just put it in that way so that the fans that did not get to see them that time will get them to see them this time. So, Simon, anything you don't remember? Anybody wants to ask anything that I can share with, or the panelists can share with? Can share?
Your prediction, who is going to win? Prediction.
Ask England right now.
India
home, and I think India should start as favorite, but... Australia is unpredictable, so too in England, and don't count out the dark horse, New Zealand. So I cannot. But this time around, I think South Africa has taken a monkey off the back since they have beaten Australia at home. Can they do it? They prove that they can make runs against Australia, one of the most powerful team in the world. So, but India is going to hard to beat, in my view. What say other panelists?
All I can say, out of those five teams from Asia, three of them is going in semifinal, no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
This is all pitches down there. It's only Asian countries are good enough. That means Afghanistan, Bangladesh, Sri Lanka, India, and Pakistan. I predict three of them is going semifinal. And depends who is playing against what city will decide. And going ahead, I will say India is a strong favorite because they have the bowling strength to fit the local weather.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, South Africa, it's a laughing stock. They always choke when playoff comes. They're always good to start.
Yeah, Mr. Patel, you said about the local weather. What's the weather got to do with the game?
Plenty.
Plenty. If you're playing in... Okay, I can tell you, if you're playing in North India, let's say, I think Dharamshala, Delhi, we got three locations where you are expecting ball going to swing in early game stages. Okay? If you come in the middle India, like Ahmedabad, Kanpur, Nagpur, Mumbai, these are the places where you can have some bounce. If you go South India, those are the spinning tracks. And believe it or not, this World Cup has enough rest between the two games for any surface. Means the both team will have the advantage, but believe it or not, ball keeps low, turning tracks. Wicket get cracks. These are the all common things you can expect in India as the game progresses, especially for the 50-over game.
Mm-hmm.
But Mr. Patel, remember, if the ball is swinging or keeping low, it's doing the same thing for both sides, not just for one, for both sides.
It is. But then these Asian batsmen from all those five countries, they play more against that situation, against their own class spinners. Means they are used to quick on footwork. They are quick on decision-making to go for the sweep or coming out or playing back foot. They are the quick movers compared to any other. Where Englishmen and glad West Indies is not there. Otherwise, they can't even move their feet against spinners.
Oh, God. Don't say that. How sure Hope can make one? One playing against spinners?
Playing India against the spinner, it's a different world.
Right. It's just like asking our West Indian bowlers to bowl in England, comparing to James Anderson and Broad.
But West Indies beat India in the ODI. Here,
we got 226.
They made 226.
226 big for seven. Yeah, 226.
Yes. Two big mountain tonight.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah,
okay.
So you know if Rocky no make 100, are we going on? But they I want to watch the ball. It's not gonna happen. That is what they did to him.
Yeah, Mr. Patel. Listen, I learned my cricket in England. I was in England from a teenager. I learned my cricket in England. They teach you. You have to make the adjustment according to the pitch, what the ball is doing. You can't sweep a ball, the ball is a bouncer, and all that. You have to make the adjustment. If you're a batsman, that's your job. So I don't know why you're saying that these men bowling and you can't hit the ball. You have to make that adjustment as a batsman.
Simon. What Mr. Patel is saying, those people live there, they bowl there, they bat there, that's their condition year in, year out.
Right.
So a person who is going there, yes, you're going to make the condition, but it's different from a person who is like and can sleep and play because that's what they eat, that's what they drink, that's what they everything, they sleep, you know?
Yes.
So for you to go there, you're not going to be as dominant as they are because you're going to their home. And
yeah.
And their home is what they know, the inside and the outside. You may have a couple of weeks to make adjustments and things like that. But then they're at home and they're in bed like that. So it's going to be difficult for someone to outside to go there and beat them.
And make the adjustments.
And he's talking about all the Asian teams because that's their condition. You go to England, you go to England or West Indies or any other team. When they start to swing the ball, you may have swingers too, but that's what they play in count cricket, in the 40 over, in the T20, everything. That's what they're doing every day. So that's their condition, so they understand it much more than a visiting team.
But remember, you can't compare those little countries with countries like Australia, Pakistan, India, and Australia, South Africa, England, West Indies. You can't compare those countries with these. They don't have the skill.
Which little country are you talking? Which little country are
you talking? Those like that Mr. Patel called, those Asian countries.
No, but you're talking about Bangladesh, Bangladesh,
they don't have
Sri Lanka, Pakistan,
okay.
all those, they are there. But we know Nepal.
They're all loaded with at least 3 to 4 spinners in a team. All teams are loaded with 3 to 4 spinners in team.
Yeah.
And I can explain the simple example to Simon. Simon, if you know how to do rock and roll or tap dance with the shoes, you just can't go in the Middle East and start the belly dance, do you?
But Mr. Patel, I thought when you're a batsman, you could make that adjustment. That's what I'm telling you.
Simon, give me one moment.
Again, as I said, if you know how to dance rock and roll and tap dance, which is the Suze marks, right? Doesn't mean you can go in the Middle East and start doing belly dance. Impossible.
Can you come in? I want Dennis to summarize just to make sure that Simon gets the whole gist of what happened tonight. Go ahead, Dennis.
All right. Well, thank you. And first, let me welcome Judgma to the group. She has joined us. Simon, well, today we had the Coach's Corner early on, followed by birthday anniversary and a cricket focus on the laws as presented by Donna Brown. And that was an excellent performance and presentation. Topic was requirements to be an umpire. And we went into the Asia Cup. We also had a couple of honorary certificate presented to Leon and myself for services and work related to our you know, contribution to this game of cricket that you love so much. And we touched on the Asia Cup, India and Sri Lanka in the Asian Cup, and the players of the month, which we really didn't quite get to, but I think it was Kelly and Babar Azam and Kelly were the player of the month for August.
I remember we were talking, you know, we're guessing who would get a player of the month, and I said right. Barbara Azam, but the female,
yes.
who got it? I don't know.
The male and female. The male and female.
The female.
Yeah, I know
was Kelly.
Kelly from?
From Ireland.
Yeah, well, she was the one too. She was the one I went for.
Yeah, she was the one.
Okay, yeah.
I think Johnson also went for Kelly too. I remember that quite well.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, yeah. So that's basically what we have done today. There are the birthday wishes to Donna's dad, who celebrated his 95th birthday, and he was one of the early, can we say, contributor and pioneer for the cricket show.
Yes.
So we were very happy to have be able to wish him happy birthday.
Mm. Might
have
been,
so essentially, the conversation you came in, and we have been at it since then. We may well be, we're coming up against time soon, so we will just take it from there. But before we go, there's one thing I must point out is the West Indies on the 19 youth tour.
Yes, yes, I
have.
Jonathan.
Where we had one young man under 19 in 6 matches. He scored 3 centuries and 1 half centuries, and only twice was he out for less than 20 runs. His name is Jordan Johnson. And I believe he is from Jamaica.
Jamaica,
but,
yes.
You know, yeah. He dominated this tour, although the West Indian youth did not. They won one of the ODI, and they lost the youth test series. With 1-0.
Mm-hmm.
Can I just round on his score? Can I just round on his
score? Yes,
yes. He made 18, 105, 14, 149, 52, 157
others. You know, West Indies have a tendency to have players under 19 that are up there with the best in the world. But to transition them out of that stage into the test arena is very difficult. So we just hope and pray that we can get him to just continue to develop and don't give him the accolades before he started to excel above the under 19. So wish him well.
Give him what give him what is due. But then we have to kind of watch him and see that the groom, him and he continue to improve and make it the transition through to the senior team. That's when, you know. And even then, when you get there, just have to start perform at the bigger stage in the senior team before you start to get the accolades.
Okay, one contradiction before we leave the show. Do we know a player they call Garfield Sobers? He played Test cricket at 16. So what you're telling me now not make much sense to me.
No. Simon, what he's saying...
You get it all wrong, Simon.
Simon, what Leon is saying that we've had in the past other 19-year-olds who have excelled, but we failed to give them...
Numerous.
All right. All right.
Yeah, I just added numerous because there are a whole lot come like that.
Who excelled at under 19, but we failed to see their improvement in the senior team. And so Leon is saying, let's hope that this one does not get away lost in the shuffles.
In the shuffles,
Because
I thought if they're good enough, they'll bring them into the top team. That's what I would do.
That's what we're hoping, Simon.
That's what they're asking for. But sometimes you give them, you push them too fast, and they don't They don't go free.
Okay.
I don't know. We may have to find some solution.
So
let's ask Jatin. Jatin, what would they do a player like that in India? Would they push him? Because look at Gil. Gil has been pushed, and he's right up there today in opening for India. You see, and what about we had Atanase? And Atanase did just as good as he was in 2019. And where's Atanase
still
now?
He's still
yeah,
shining.
He's there, but he's trying, he's trying.
Yeah, this is like a three-way combination. Number one, the player's willingness and desire is the key to develop to the next level, including learning process, coachable quality, all sort of things. Number two, need to have a good platform. India has a platform like the IPL, which they are getting opportunities to play against the stars from around the world, including their own star in those teams. And then the highly qualified or adequate coaching staff, plenty of legends around them for the mentoring. That's a part two. And the third one is definitely looking at the training and development. Like over there, Rahul Dravid lasted for about, I think, 8 or 9 years in the youth coaching. And during the time, he's the one mentor and groom those players to all levels. And because of that, we are seeing all these young players coming. They are going next level. And even today, when we see this West Indies-India T20 in Fort Lauderdale, the Rahul Dravid is a coach. And at one point, even the Yashasvi Jaiswal, I believe it was the last day when he got out and he come back. If you look at behind the dugout, Rahul Dravid is the only talking Yashasvi Jaiswal on one-on-one.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at the interaction, it's not the coach called him to come out behind the dugout and talk. I think coach was walking a little bit, whatever is happening, so he wanted to have the different look or different way to get the fresh air, I call it. And all of a sudden, you see from the other side, SSV Jaiswal on his own walking to the coach and started the conversation. So in that situation, what I will say that West Indies has lost this communication channel. Read the story, listen to the legends. I know plenty of them, and they'll tell you everything same. How they learn the cricket is on their own, without proper coaching during those times. But once they get into the international arena or in a national event, they end up with the other legends, and they do respect those other legends and senior players, and they learn from them. It's nothing new, whether you talk Courtney Walsh, you talk Courtney Ambrose, you talk later Malcolm Marshall, they'll all tell you the same thing. They were not at the time like the star ready to go for international, but as soon as they made the progress, they kept learning from the others. They kept getting mentoring from the senior players. That thing does not exist in West Indies anymore. And because of that, as I said, this is the three-stage process, and all three stages need to be worked together to have a team like India.
Give me 15 seconds to correct Simon on something there, because he said Sobers play cricket for Western at age 16, but he was actually 17 years and
change,
45 days. Right, and Seeley is actually the youngest. He was 17 years and 122 days. So was the second youngest to play for the West Indies.
Yep.
All right.
So we have a limited amount of time, but we suspicious of a little problem you may encounter. So why don't you go call Jasna in. Jasna, you'll say a few words on behalf of...
Make your entrance and exit.
Make your entrance and make it nice as usual.
Good evening, everybody. It was a great show again. Sorry I joined a little bit later, but always a great show. And you all be safe, and see you all next week, Sunday again.
Okay. We want to call on Heisi because she was up early. And...
I was just going to say this. Thank you for a wonderful show. It was well appreciated, and just want to say congratulations again, and have a good week, everyone.
Thank you so much. You were very capable and helped us along the way to make it possible. Okay.
Leon, quickly.
Yeah, go ahead.
The minor league program is now at the final playoff stages,
mm-hmm.
and that should be ended by the end of the month. I mean, the Southern Division, most likely two would be Atlanta Lightning and Atlanta Fire. On the Eastern Division, the Philadelphians and New Jersey Stallions. And the Central Division, Dallas Mustangs and Michigan Stars. And in the Western Division, East Bay Blazers and Silicon Valley Strikers. Those eight teams, I think, are the ones that will be participating in the playoffs leading to the final, which will be sometime towards the end of the end of September. So I thought I'd try to get that one in there before we close up.
Virgil, why don't you say quickly? Virgil, okay, Jetin,
yes, I just want to say I hope Rakim Conwell score 100 tonight, make it 150, and Barbados can win the game. So looking forward, if it happens, you celebrate me next week. I hope all you guys have a good night tonight. Keep on watching.
Good night. Jetin, say bye-bye on behalf of everybody else because we have just for 2 minutes. Jetin, can you do it for all of us?
Jetin left us.
Okay,
left
well,
left.
Dennis, why don't you do it all of us? You're going to have about 3 minutes.
Well,
we're not too sure.
I think we may have a little longer than that, Leon. But anyway,
On
behalf of the Cricket Show, let's thank everyone for joining us, and we ask you to come back next week. But remember, next Saturday, on Saturday morning, is the Saturday Morning Entertainment Show. So we invite you to spend some time, get inspired by listening to the awesome music and, of course, the panelists. So for inspiration and entertainment, don't forget the Caribbean Global Voices at 1-563-999-3693. That's the Caribbean Global Voices on Saturdays at 9 a.m. Eastern Time Zone. So be there or you'll miss a great show in that regard. Thank everyone for being part of the show today.
Okay, Audley, we have some more time. Why don't you do your thing? Quickly. Because Audley, he's gone. Donna?
No, sorry. It was on mute.
Yeah.
Oh, a man who finds no satisfaction in himself will seek for it in vain elsewhere. Just remember that as we go through the week. God bless you. Have a great week.
Okay, God bless you too. How about you, Donna? Final words from you, please. Thank you for a wonderful presentation. Donna?
Thank you, again.
Yeah.
Now I'm right here.
Final thoughts.
Well, a wonderful show, and I would like to say
You
want to
do it again next week?
The program. Anytime. As long as I'm making my contribution towards the sport I love. Okay?
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Yes,
right.
You are.
Okay. Thank you so much. Didn't we hear from Simon?
You're welcome.
Yeah. Simon, your final words. We are limited on time. Go ahead. Simon, is he gone too? What about Murchis? Murchis, are you with us?
No, Murchis is gone.
He's gone. Uh-huh. Okay. Well, we have some time. I had to kill some time in the meantime. So anybody else who didn't say anything that would like to say something before we go, because we have a little more time than I anticipate.
I think
okay.
Virgil has left us.
Indeed. So we want to thank everybody for being on the show, and especially the ones who made it possible and brave the weather to be with us.
I have a question. Donna, can you possibly text me? I need to be able to reach Mercury, and I'm not sure that I have her email. Can you, if you have it, can you
I'll check. Okay.
And give all regards, Donna, to Father Brown.
Okay.
Let him know that we love him and we hope he lives to see many more years. Stay strong. And always wear that shoe. I like it. I like that shoe.
Okay. All right. Okay.
One of my favorite wears is the shoe. Okay, good night, everybody. God bless you. And listen to Beckett as you send her home. He say we're going to do clean sweep.
Go the most.